Lesson from the Gospel according to Mark. Again, Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. The Pharisees watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And Jesus said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But the Pharisees were silent. Jesus looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to have a moment with the children. So if you are a child and you want to come forward and join me, we've got the rails closed for communion. So it means we have to go all the way around again this side. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens. We'll share a minute or two together. Come on up. Have a seat, Teddy. Jack, nice to see everybody. Hello, hello. Hey, Maggie. Welcome, welcome. Got a good group today. There's Ruthie. Good morning, good morning. Have a seat. Wow, what a great group. I'm so excited to see you all. I hope y'all are signed up for Vacation Bible School starting up next week. Well, I know that most of us, if not all of us, have had boo-boos before. Anybody who's had a boo-boo, raise your hand. Out there, up here. Yes, I've had boo-boos. I've got one right now on my toe. We all get boo-boos, right? And so we have things to put on our boo-boos. Sometimes we have a little boo-boo, like maybe one on your toe, or maybe you get a paper cut and there's a boo-boo Band-Aid about this size. Sometimes maybe you scraped your elbow on something and you might need a slightly bigger bandage for that boo-boo. Sometimes you fall off your bike and you get a big old boo-boo on your knee and you need something like this and maybe even some tape to go around it. We have all different sizes of boo-boos, but you know, every boo-boo hurts. We have a story today where Jesus goes into a synagogue, which is sort of like what we would call a church, maybe. People are there for worship. And there's a man who's got a boo-boo. His hand is sort of withered. And some would say, well, that's not a really big boo-boo, but I'm sure it hurt. And Jesus saw him and decided to heal him. And one of the things that makes me remember is that no matter how big or small our boo-boos are, they matter to God, and God always wants us to feel better. And I'm grateful that Jesus was a healer who wanted to help people feel better. Let's pray together. Gracious God, you know that sometimes we get hurt. We have boo-boos. Sometimes our hearts hurt and our feelings are hurt. And it all matters to you. And you love us and you want to heal us and help us to feel better. So we thank you for all the people in our lives who help us when we have boo-boos. And we pray that you will help us be kind and gentle when somebody else has a boo-boo. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church. Over there with Miss Jan and others. You're five. Okay, you get to go to Children's Church. Yay. I have to say I had fun watching some of you 8:45 folks during the antiphon being like, wait, is this longer? Because at 8:45 we only sing the chorus and the 11 o'clock gets to sing the whole antiphon. So welcome to the 10 o'clock service. Sounded wonderful. In our scripture reading this morning, we meet a man who has been overlooked. overlooked in a lot of different ways, I think. The way the story is told, I imagine him standing in the synagogue, leaning against the back wall. The story tells us he has a withered hand. Well, that's a wound that's probably easy to cover up with a long sleeve. Maybe he just keeps his withered hand covered and tries to mix in with the crowd and gets overlooked. His is a story that in some ways gets overlooked by the gospel readers and writers. When we think about the healing stories of Jesus, we don't often bring up the man with the withered hand. We talk about Bartimaeus, the man who was blind begging on the side of the road. That's a tremendous healing story. Or the woman with the 12-year hemorrhage who reached out and grabbed Jesus by the cloak and was healed. But the man with the withered hand doesn't come up so often. In fact, as many of you know, our own Heath Jones helps us every week to find artwork for the cover of the bulletin, and usually he's got to pare it down. He's got all sorts of paintings and pieces of art around the different stories of the scriptures, but he sent me this past week just a few. He's like, there just aren't many artists who considered this story. It's not one of those that we talk about that much. It's actually the narrative itself that seems to overlook this man as well. It seems like the gospel writer is actually more interested in what's going on around the scene, the controversy between Jesus and the Pharisees. Because see, what is happening is that Jesus and some of the religious leaders are having an ongoing debate and discussion about the Sabbath and what should be allowed and shouldn't be allowed on the Sabbath day. This was a rich conversation happening among first century rabbis and teachers and leaders. And I want to make it clear something that we sometimes get wrong is that every rabbi and every Pharisee would have agreed with Jesus that if someone's life is at stake, you do whatever it takes to save a life. That's not in question. What is the question is, what about these injuries that aren't life-threatening? It seems that the Pharisees in the synagogue that day would have thought, that can wait till tomorrow. Today's the Sabbath day. Can't you at least wait till after sundown when the Sabbath is over? This man's not going to die from his injuries. But Jesus draws the man into the center of the synagogue, and he may be poking the bear a little bit. He may be trying to cause a little bit of good trouble, drawing these Pharisees into this conversation and trying to make a point about what the Sabbath is and what it's all about. And yet here in the center of the synagogue is this man with a withered hand. We don't know his name. We don't know his story. Was he born this way, or was he injured in the course of his work and labor, his life? We don't know what happens to him after he is healed. Even the story itself seems to overlook him a little bit. And maybe that's why, as I read this text and began to pray and prepare for the sermon today, I found myself drawn to this nameless man with a non-life-threatening injury, a withered hand. And I was particularly drawn to that word, withered. It's connected in Greek to the word dried up, withered, dried up. And I recognize there are places in my life where I feel a little dried up and withered. Maybe nobody sees it. Maybe I hover in the back and I have a nice long sleeve to cover it up. But it's there. And I began to wonder if most of us, if not all of us, have some place in our lives that feels withered and dried up, that we may be trying to hide from others, from God, from ourselves even. Maybe for some of us, our hearts are broken. We come into this place, this time of worship, and we are hurting. Perhaps a relationship has ended, or we've lost someone we love. Our hearts are broken over other things happening in our world, and we gather here with broken hearts. Some of us are wrestling with anxiety, this low-level anxiety that we just can't put our finger on and yet keeps interfering with our ability to enjoy life. Or maybe it's an ongoing depression. Now, we look at our lives and we think, I have everything I've ever wanted. I should be happy, but I can't go to sleep at night. And once I do go to sleep, I just don't want to get out of bed in the morning. Something's withered. Or maybe it's our spirits. We can't remember the last time we felt full of that love of God that we want to be able to express in worship, and it's just dried up within us. We can't remember the last time we felt God's presence with us. Or maybe for some of us, we're just so tired. Tired of fighting with the illness. Tired of all the controversy and meanness in our world. Tired, tired, tired. I think many of us know what it feels like to be withered. And so if you can identify with that word and with the plight of this man in the synagogue that day, then lean in with me a little closer to the story. Let's get underneath what's going on between Jesus and the Pharisees and see what he does for this man. The first thing Jesus does is he sees him. He notices him. And he knows that his hand is withered. As much as the man might be trying to hide it and hovering on the margins of that space, Jesus knows. And I think we can have the assurance that whatever it is we are holding and maybe even trying to hide, God sees and notices and is moved by our struggle and our pain. And Jesus then invites the man into the center of the gathered community. Come here, Jesus says. Now that's scary. To be invited into the middle of the congregation, to have our witheredness exposed, to have other people know what our struggle might be, that's scary, isn't it? It shouldn't be, but it is. Church is one of the hardest places to work in, to walk into, vulnerable and struggling. It should be the first place we should walk into and feel welcomed. And yet somehow, no matter whether it's a 25-member church in rural West Tennessee or a 10,000-member church in Kansas City or a 500-worshiping congregation in the heart of Nashville, it's hard to walk into a sanctuary and be open about what we're really dealing with. But Jesus shows us in this story that our witheredness, our woundedness, our vulnerability is welcome in the body of Christ. This should be a congregation where we can be really, truly who we are, as broken and messed up and struggling as we are at times. Now, we have groups that meet in the church, recovery groups, where you stand up and say, I'm John and I'm an alcoholic. We have a group that will be gathering connected with our communion offering ministry today for family members who love someone who's in prison, who carry that worry and that weight with them. So there are places and pockets where people can come and share their pain. And what I hope and what we hope as your pastors is that this can be a congregation where you can come with whatever your pain is. And don't tell yourself that, well, my struggle is nothing compared to what they are going through. Every boo-boo matters to God. And every piece of suffering we have in our lives is connected with the great suffering of all humankind. It's part of what connects us. So I want to encourage you as your pastor to find ways and places where you can share what's withered in your life, whether it's a Sunday school class or a small group, or if you don't feel comfortable in those settings, come and talk with one of your pastors and we'll help you find companions on the journey. Because our witheredness and our pain is welcome in the center of the congregation. The last thing Jesus does is he says to this man, stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. Be open and stretch it out toward Jesus. That's what we're invited to do. That's what all of us are doing when we come here for worship, is with our wounded, withered selves, we are stretching out and reaching for Jesus. It is his healing power and his healing grace that saves us. But somehow we've got to reach out. And we have to encourage each other to do that. It's fascinating that Jesus doesn't actually touch the man or say words of healing. That may be part of his strategy in poking the bear with the Pharisees. But it's also a way of inviting this man to participate in his own healing. And that's our invitation as well. Wherever in your life you are feeling withered and hurting and lost, you are being invited this day by our Lord Jesus Christ to stretch out for him. And we can do that at the table today. Because he's our host, remember? And he sets before us the bread of life and the cup of grace, ready to be poured out into our lives, as withered and broken as they may be. And all we have to do is hear the invitation to come forward and stretch out our hands in the midst of other broken, withered people and find that we are healed by this grace. Thanks be to God.